The worship team is in charge of the worship service today. And what we're going to speak about is your heart language. And what is your heart language? And maybe you have a few of them. And the heart language, how we explained it, was what makes you feel connected or closest to God? Okay, but just to let you know, the foremost common themes, and obviously is the sermon today, they were nature, music, prayer, and to serve others. So we will be speaking to you about these four themes and asking you questions with regard to these themes, having you think about, do you connect with that? And what did we really mean when we say nature or prayer or those kind of things? So that's what I wanted to introduce as an overall as to what we'll be doing today, okay? So I'm up here now for nature. I hope when you saw those photos, it took you somewhere, it made you smile, it made you maybe wish you were there. But nature was very important to many people in the congregation. And feeling closer or connected to God, nature affects all of our senses. And we know our senses are sight, smell, hearing, touch, and taste. And maybe you had a chance to watch a sunrise or a sunset recently with maybe your favorite backdrop, be it a beach or a lighthouse, a backyard, or the mountains. And all of that causes us to witness and praise or just say a prayer of thanks to God. And that's how a lot of people feel connected. Our next sense is smell. And to take in the fresh rain that's coming, or the smell of burning fall leaves, the scent of pine in a forest, or maybe a fresh cut Christmas tree or wreath, that aroma of fresh cut hay, these smells and scents, they're taken in and they're remembered. They're very near and dear in our hearts and in our memory bank. And for years to come, you could share it with your children and grandchildren, how you used to cut down the Christmas tree, how you'd have a bonfire, how you would have the burning leaf pile, and everyone can go back and have that memory and have those scents come alive again. And you just think, wow, thanks, glory to God. I feel so connected out in nature. Well, then hearing is another scent. And if you hear a twig snap as you're hiking along, it seems like when you're hiking and you step on twigs and you hear them crack, it really sticks with you. It's not the same as walking on concrete and stepping on a stick. But out on that path where you might be deep in woods or you might be along the shore and you step on a twig and you hear it snap, you really go, oh, I really heard that one. Or you're out on a lake and you hear the loon, and the call of the loon is so relaxing. Or maybe you're out in the evening camping or sitting on your deck and you hear the owls at night, and they're so relaxing. They're just there to let you know that all is still and nature is wonderful. And maybe you even hear the buzz of the bumblebee or the bees that are on the flowers. Or how about, have you heard the hum of the hummingbird's wings when they flap and they make that mmm, and you can't believe this little guy is doing that? Is it 1,000 beats per minute? His little wings are flapping. That's such a relaxing, wonderful noise that I hear. And all of these things, how about waterfalls, waves on the beach, a fountain maybe at your home, just anything with water running. Is so relaxing. That's why people bring those indoors sometimes to their office. Outdoor singing, outdoor worship, you're connecting outside. Yes, sometimes the wind blows, makes everything go off. Who cares? Sometimes it's windy, you can't really hear, but you're outside and you can hear outdoor noises. And it's a change of scenery. And that's what many people wrote on their heart was nature, being outdoors, and obviously outdoor worship and singing was very popular. Another sense is touching, digging our hands in God's earth to plant crops, flowers, herbs, vegetables. It's so revitalizing, just getting in there, getting our hands dirty. Digging in the sand at the beach, no matter what age you are, it's very soothing to run your hand through sand. How about taking fresh eggs out of a coop? Maybe you're taking honey from the comb, or maybe you're taking bales of hay, but all of those are helping other people and knowing that you're growing something that you yourself are eating, but also sharing with others is so rewarding. You feel proud that that was your cucumber that made dinner or is in the salad. There's a lot to be proud of and thankful for with the sense of touching. And the last one is tasting. We sure have lovely coffee hours with yummy things that we taste. The first cup of coffee seems to just taste wonderful. Things that we take for granted. But what happens if you lost your taste? You have ever had a cold and you can't taste anything? Some people, when they had COVID, they lost their sense of smell or taste. I love to eat. I live to eat. If I lost my sense of taste, ooh, I'm not sure I would be the skinniest thing on earth, or I don't know. But picking strawberries, you always have to taste one. How about raspberries, blueberries, tomatoes, peppers, cucumbers, zucchini, or corn that you've grown, and you get to taste it for the first time of the season? It's spectacular. The first s'mores that you make over the fire in summer, they're fabulous. The taste of mint, chives, and dill of what you have eaten this summer and how that has just added a little bit to what you eat. We get so excited and we anticipate when it's ready for us to pick and use. Walking in God's glorious outdoors, surrounded by nature, can cause one to connect with God and feel his close presence with each task we do or with every sitting, relaxing moment. Let's continue to enjoy nature and have it be our heart language. And if it wasn't one that you wrote today, maybe you've connected with something I've said today and you go, you know what? I do feel close when I'm out in nature. And that's what we wanted to share with you today.
Our next topic is worshiping God through music. Talking about music for worship can evoke strong feelings. Each person has grown up listening to, singing, or playing a specific style of music. So for just a moment, I want you to close your eyes. So if everyone will close your eyes with me. And remember a time when you were involved in some kind of musical event. It does not have to be church-related. It can be anything. Maybe it's a concert you attended with a good friend or sibling. Maybe it's taking music lessons as a child, or it could be a private moment in the car listening to the radio. Think about who was with you at the time. Remember your surroundings. Were you in a building or outside under the stars? Was the event very formal or was it laid back? How did you feel at the time? Were you excited? Happy? Nervous? Peaceful? You can open your eyes. Each one of us has life experiences that impact the way we think and feel about music. If the experience was positive, we may naturally want to use that same style of music to worship God. That style of music may become one of our heart languages to express our love for God. In contrast, if the experience was boring or maybe even negative, using that style of music in church may cause the opposite effect. Using that style of music may evoke negative feelings in worship. So, how do we juggle this as a church? What should we do when a certain style of music may draw some people closer to God, but at the same time may alienate others? Here's what the Bible says. We are called to sacrifice our own desires so that the people we love may grow in faith. Philippians 2:3-4 says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." Clearly, music in the church is quite a balancing act. We are called to worship God with all our heart, soul, and mind, but we're also supposed to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. It is comforting to know that if we don't personally connect with the music on a particular Sunday, it's okay. By momentarily sacrificing our personal preferences or heart language, we play a key role in helping the person on the pew next to us grow closer to God. The good news is, we don't have to choose only one type of music to use in church. Instead, the Bible gives many examples of music and instruments, and here are a few. Psalms 98:4 says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Burst into jubilant song with music." Psalm 150:3-5 says, "Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with timbrel and dancing. Praise God with strings and pipe. Praise God with the clash of cymbals. Praise God with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." As long as we are praising God with passion, musical style doesn't matter. What types of music are you passionate about? Do you love to go out with friends and listen to a band? Do you enjoy sitting on the hill at Buttermilk Park during the summer, listening to music under the stars? Maybe you love singing in the car when no one is around. Some of you grew up singing in choirs and musicals, or like me, you've spent many hours alone practicing your instrument. What types of music get you most excited? As we move forward in discovering the heart language of our church, we are excited to experiment with new musical ideas, things we may not have tried in the past. They may not all work, and some may even be a complete flop, but sometimes going on the journey is half the fun. So I have a thought for you to ponder. Many of you feel that music is one of your heart languages, but I bet there are some people here who aren't sure because you've never seen that particular style of music you like used in a church worship service. Consider this. God, who created the universe, who created the stars and the planets, the rivers and the volcanoes, is the same being who created music. God is the same being who inspired people to create your music. If you love music, but never felt music connected you to God, maybe God is calling you on a new adventure. In what ways can you use your music to connect with him? And I challenge you to tell somebody at coffee hour.
Prayer is powerful. So powerful that a good percentage of our members noted it as their heart language when connecting with God. Prayer is an essential part of our relationship with God. It is the means by which we communicate with God's Spirit. Through prayer, we bring our requests and concerns to God and giving him thanks for his many blessings. There are many different ways we can pray to God, and everyone has their own unique way of praying. Some are passed down from generation to generation, while some are brand new. God welcomes them all and loves them all, as there is no right or wrong way in the connection we make with God through prayer. A good scripture regarding prayer, I believe, is Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." What I take away from that scripture, and I hope you do too, is that you don't have to be anxious or worried because God hears you through prayer. He wants you to lean on him and cast your worries and doubts. Some of the common ways I currently incorporate prayer, or daily prayer into my day, are during my morning coffee, a daily devotional book and journaling, a nature prayer while taking my daily walk, and a dinner prayer as a family before we eat. There are so many other ways for prayer, a few being prayer beads, walking the labyrinth, and children and adult coloring prayer books. Prayer beads are a great way to pray that involves your senses and keeps you attentive to God. Prayer beads offer a way to involve your hands and your heart in prayer. The labyrinth is a tool for prayer consisting of a winding path that leads to a central space and then out again by the same path. Labyrinths are used as a way to quiet the mind, calm anxieties, enhance creativity, encourage meditation, insight, self-reflection, and stress reduction. For those that don't know, we do have one here in the back parking lot along with benches for seating. For anyone who would like more information regarding prayer beads or the labyrinth, the church has lots of information available. You can find one of us or ask Jennifer and we can point you into the right direction. So wherever you are and no matter what you are doing, we all can give thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ through these many ways of prayer, and the most important being there is no right or wrong way to pray.
Okay, and lastly, the fourth, not the fourth most common thing, but the fourth thing that was commonly written on a heart was helping or serving others. Scripture reading from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 11 says, "Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." Some of us feel closest to God when we're able to show God's love to others through service. And we do this in so many ways. For example, some people cook or bake and serve food at Loaves and Fishes or the Warming Shelter. Others knit or crochet to donate to those in need or for the college students in our church. Some people use their gardening talents to keep our church grounds beautiful. Others use their organizing skills to coordinate community-wide events. Some people use their business sense to help our church make wise financial decisions. Others use their skills to help build things like beds for sleep in heavenly peace. Some people have been on mission trips or have an eye on global issues. Others open their homes to help people in our community. Some people have the heart of a teacher and they thrive off the energy from working with children and youth. And some people have a smile or a kind word for everyone they meet, and they serve others by brightening their day. Serving others may be your heart language if you feel called to use your gifts in any of these ways, or in other ways that help others, or if you truly enjoy giving your time and talents, or if after volunteering your time, perhaps you're physically exhausted, but spiritually renewed. Some of us know exactly what our gifts are, and we use them the best ways we know how. Others of us long to know what gifts God has actually given us, and we struggle to figure out how to be faithful stewards of gifts we don't even recognize. And I know that not everyone's heart language is service to others. However, I do think a willing heart is a gift in and of itself, and perhaps one of the best gifts we have all been given is time. Choosing to use the time God has blessed us with by serving others in whatever ways we are able is not only a way to honor God, but also a way to grow closer to Him. And if this resonates with you, service to others may be one of your heart languages.
Bring our gifts to you, O God, as tokens of our love and the dedication of our lives to you and your reign. As you bless these gifts for ministry, bless us also that we may mature in our faith and ability to share your gospel with the world. Amen.
We worship you, O God, because you are all-knowing. There is nothing hidden from you. You have created us in your own image and have given us the ability to know ourselves. You invite us to look within and face the truth of our own lives. We bring to you the cares of our hearts, not because you need to be told, but because we need to tell you. We need to share with our loving God the deepest concerns of our own lives. We need to bring the hurts of the world to you, so we stand with you in caring for the hurting and the lost. All these things we ask in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
With a song of praise on our lips, we go forth with God. With the love of God in our hearts, we go forth with God. With a commitment to usher in God's kingdom, we go forth with God. With all that we are and all we can be, we go forth with God.